Let's pray and ask God to be with us. Father, we thank you once again for the joy of worshiping you. We thank you, Lord, that we can hear your word even today. And Father, we pray that you will take control of our hearts and minds, O God. We want to be sensitive to your leading. We want to be obedient to your word, O God. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I came across a story written by Charles Lamb. It's a very interesting story when I was reading that particular story that he has written. You know, Charles Lamb, in his writings, he was just narrating a story where his sister Mary was bringing him when he was a small boy to the cemetery, right? Sometimes we call the graveyard, right? And so just taking the small brother to the graveyard for a walk. Very interestingly, when they were walking, they were looking at almost every tombstone. And so in the tombstone, you realize, you know, there are some beautiful words, right? Loving husband, right? Wonderful wife, right? And so if you realize there are interesting words when you go to every tombstone, you know, he was a brave person. He gave his life for all. And so it was very interesting. Charles Lamb writes that, you know, he was looking at every word. He was very fascinated. Wow, so-and-so is buried here. He's a wonderful person, an awesome father or a loving mother, a caring person, and that's were the words. And so when they came to the end of the graveyard or the cemetery, right, he asked his sister, Mary, you know, where are the naughty people buried? Because I saw all the good names, right, people wonderful and all that, but he asked, where are the naughty people buried? Which cemetery or which graveyard they are buried? And so when I was reading that story, I was just, you know, for a moment, I was just smiling to myself. I thought, it's very profound, right? Because it also told me that we live in a world that we want to be found good. We want to be recognized as good people, right? We want to be seen good. We want to be acknowledged that we are good people. And many times, let me tell you, you know, we are good people, but, you know, what happens? Sometimes we do not know whether that is good or that is right, or whether that is wrong. And that was the struggle in the churches in Galatia, right? And so Paul writes, and the Christians were struggling because they were living a good Christian life. You know, they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were just walking in step with him. And because of the Judaizers, you know, there was a different teaching that was coming. You know, legalism was just coming in. And that's why Paul writes to them and say, you know, I know you guys are struggling about law, right? About ceremonial things. Because if you look at the Leviticus, you know, they were expected to do certain things to be seen acceptable in the sight of God. There are certain foods they should be avoiding, certain things they can eat. You know, there are do's and don'ts kind of a thing that the Leviticus law speaks about. And so they were struggling because what was happening, these new teachers or the Judaizers were coming and saying, you know, you need an add-on to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not only sufficient. You need something extra, right? Something interesting, something, you know, the law speaks about. And as I told you, no, the law reveals about the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, but Jesus is the main person. And that was a constant struggle for them. So Paul writes this particular letter and tells them, you know, that we need to be constantly living in the Spirit. Next week, I will start with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, yes, we love to bear fruits. All of us want to bear fruits, right? We want to be seen good, like Charles Lamb said. People want to be found good. We want to be producing good fruits. We want to be seen having, you know, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want people to see God's character in our lives. But I think it's only possible, provided we are living in the Spirit. And so Paul reminds the churches in Galatia, it's not one church he's writing to all the churches in that particular region. And he tells them, you know, you need to be living in the Spirit. It is important for you. And so when you look at this particular passage, you know, Paul, I just want to focus on these two phrases in verses 25 and 26. You know, Paul says, you know, you should continue to live in the Spirit. And so he reminds them, living in the Spirit means, my friend. He says, it's a crucified life. He uses the word, and I've been crucified, right? I've been crucified. And then we realize, he says, and I've been crucified, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And then he uses the word, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, he said, we need to have a crucified life with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when we need to have a resurrected life, right? And that too will make us to live in the Spirit. We will be found living in the Spirit. Yes, it's wonderful to have a crucified life, right? To say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I seek your forgiveness. I need your mercy in my life each and every day. I believe, you know, that has been our prayer. We ask God for forgiveness. That's wonderful. But Paul says that we need to have a resurrected life. And that's why we get baptized, right? We say we bury the person because it's dead to sin, right? I don't want to live this life again, right? I'm risen with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a resurrected life together. And so when Paul looks at these particular two phrases, he said that's the way each and every person can live in the Spirit. And let me, as I told you, the two phrases. You know, so when I was looking at this particular word, Paul uses the same word in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And when I was looking at this Galatians chapter 2, 20 and Galatians chapter 5, 24, I realized there's a difference between these two verses or phrases. And I thought I should share with you. You know, in Galatians 2, 20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right? And that's how he starts the verse. And when you look at that particular phrase, Paul, in that context, is saying, you know, it's written in a very passive mode. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, Christ is crucified. He's the one who died on the cross for me. And because of his grace and because of his mercy, he has embraced me and brought me to the cross. And because of what Jesus have done, he has loved me, he has carried me, and together I am crucified with Christ. So in other words, I am not the crucifier. Christ is the crucifier. He died for me. And so Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified in a passive mood. Jesus brought me with his help, with his mercy, right? I'm crucified. And that's the way Paul writes in this particular text. But then here, he writes it differently because he is writing to believers in this text. Here he says, you know, he uses a different word altogether, right? He uses in an active sense. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. The mood here is an active mood. The previous verse was more of a passive mood. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, he says, yes, I was crucified with Christ. The Lord Jesus brought me and I together I was crucified. But now he's addressing the believers by saying, you make the choice. You need to crucify yourself each and every day. Yes, it happened in the past. Jesus brought me. He died on the cross for me. He brought me to the cross. And there I experienced my forgiveness, my mercy. And then here he says, but now I have made the choice that each and every day I have been crucified. I volunteer myself and say, Lord, I bring myself to you. I need you, Lord. I need your forgiveness in my life. It's a deliberate attempt that Paul speaks about in this particular text, my friend. I think if you realize, I think we memorize Luke 9:23. What is Luke 9:23? It says, hello, hello. Deny yourself, and take up the cross daily and follow me, right? You take up the cross daily. In other words, you surrender yourself daily. You're willing to face the suffering that Jesus have faced daily, my friend. It is not something that happened in the past. It is not past tense. But Paul says, you know, to live in the Spirit each and every moment, you know, we need to be crucifying. It's the act of the will of the person. I think it's important for us, right? Even today, you know, are we crucifying ourselves each and every moment and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I need you. I realize without you, I cannot. And Paul, interestingly, uses two words here. He says, we need to crucify our lust and affection. When I look at this word, you know, very interesting scholars say, you know, it makes up of our flesh. In other words, when Paul uses the word flesh, right, flesh equates to lust and affections. In other words, lust, it is something inside in you, right? It's inside in you. You desire to have what other people have. Sometimes you don't speak about it, right? But that's why when you see the glamour of this world, the fashion world, you know, the music culture, the pop culture, whatnot, you want to be, and that's lust. So Paul, whenever Paul uses the word flesh, you know, he equates by saying flesh means, right, lust and affection. There's always an inner desire, right, what people have, I want to have. What they do, I want to do. You know, these are the things, you know, in a very negative way. And secondly, the word affection here, it's a strong desire that satisfies the body. That's why he talks about sexual desires, Paul. Many a times he realizes, you know, Paul says, you know, such people will not inherit the kingdom of God. We realize that's a struggle. That's a struggle. And so Paul says, you know, this is the struggle you guys will face each and every day. You want to be like the Gentile people. You want that luxury, extravagance, right? You want to have everything in life. I'm not saying that we shouldn't build up our career, but I think we live in a very competitive world. We want to compete, right? We want to be that somebody. If it's God's will, then you need to be that somebody that's different. But this was, their will was just the way the Gentiles were living. And so Paul, you know, he's saying, we need to crucify that each and every day and say, Lord, I have a strong desire in me. I just crucify myself to you. Lord, please help me. Please forgive me. I have a strong lust in me. Lord, I want to be like this. Lord, please help me. And so Paul says, it is a deliberate crucifixion that someone or some you guys have to do it. And Paul, that's why he says daily. If you have time, go back home and read Romans chapter 8 verse 13. Paul uses the word mortify. It's a very interesting word that he uses, that how we should be denying yourself. And that's why whenever you see the word cross, you know, it's shameful. Yes, it's painful, right, to crucify ourselves. And so Paul encourages. And today, let me ask you, right? And I know it's a struggle to live in the Spirit, to be found living in the Spirit. I think each and every moment, we should crucify ourselves to God. Yes, Jesus has already done it in the past. But whenever there is a strong desire that brings us away from living a life for Christ or found obedient to Christ, I think we need to be found crucifying and saying, Lord, I need you. Because the flesh is always like that. That's why today's memory verse, right? It also do not be, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so it's important for us, right, to crucify daily, to seek forgiveness, to seek God's guidance in our life. Secondly, and this is what Paul says, to live a Christian life, not only it's a crucified life that happens daily. It's an active mood that is written here. He says we need to have a resurrected life, right? And very interesting, when Paul writes this word, I was looking at the word very carefully. You know, Paul is not saying, okay, now live a life like this. He's not talking like that. The way in the Greek text it means, you know, because since we live in the Spirit, continue to walk in the Spirit. So he's addressing all the believers. You have the Spirit of God in you because you have given your life to Christ. He is in you. Since you are believers, you need to be found walking this way. It's not, you know, try walking. You have the Spirit of God in you, whether you want to use him or not. It's like having a car, right? But you're not using the car. It's always parked in your garage. Paul says, no. You have the vehicle in you. You have the Spirit of God living in you. So start walking in step with the Spirit. And that's what Paul is encouraging us even today. And two things, you know, when you look at this particular word, you know, I was looking at the word, you know, sometimes I look at words very carefully. In just earlier verses, Paul uses the walk. It's a different walk altogether. But here he uses a different word in Galatians 5. He uses another walk that's a different walk, right? And that walk is not this walk, right? It's also walking, but a different... But here he uses a walk which is a different walk. He uses a very military term. And because you know of the military presence that was around that part of the world. So Paul uses the word, and it's a different walk altogether. And he says, because you have the Spirit of God in you, right? This is how you need to be found walking. He says, your Christian life should be marked with orderliness. In other words, the way walk here means you're walking in line. It doesn't mean I walk the way I want. That's not walking, right? This is my life. I have the Spirit of God in me. I believe, you know, I'm just going to walk. You don't tell me anything. This is the way I walk. No. Paul uses a different word. He uses a military word. He says, you walk in line. Because when you walk in line, you know, I was in the army. When you walk, you have to be conscious of the person beside you. Because when you walk, if not, it will not be a line. It will be a crooked line. So when you're walking, your eyes is actually looking at the person. You're walking in front, but at the same time, you're also looking, right? Because you want to be in step with the person who's beside you. And so if everyone in the well, in the marching battalion, you know, if you watch, we are expected to watch the person who's on the right. So every person will watch the person in the right. And then you will realize, you know, they'll be walking in line. And that's what Paul is saying. You don't simply walk, right? But you walk in line. You walk in line, and the way you use the word, you know, if you look at another passage, you know, another a few verses behind, he uses the word rule. You walk in line to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, looking at the Master. In other words, you're just listening. You're looking where the Spirit of God is leading me. It's not that I'm just walking the way I want. No. You're looking. Right? Paul says, you're conscious to the rule of the Spirit of God in you. He speaks about it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. Right? You're looking at the cross. You're looking at the Savior. You're looking at His teaching. And you're just walking. If not, your path will be out. Your march, you will be walking, but you will walk a different life altogether. You'll be just looking. Yes, we know. I think all of us know the Lord Jesus Christ. But whether our walk is in line to His teaching. Whether are we walking, looking, right, moving forward, but we have always been sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit, to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, we will be walking, but we will be out of step. That's the way Paul says, right? And secondly, as I told you, right, Christian walk is walking with others, right? And so when Paul writes this word, a particular word, you know, very interestingly, Paul is saying, you need to walk your step. It's because someone is praying for me doesn't mean that you don't pray. You know, you need to be walking. You need to be found doing your role. At the same time, he's encouraging the churches in Galatia, right? Not only one particular church. He's saying, you know, all of us, we need to be walking together. We need to be walking in fellowship. That's important. Right? I think our personal walk with God is important, my friend. Yet, our personal walk with God is important. It's not my spouse is walking and so I don't need to walk. You know, every person have to be found walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in line. And similarly, every member of the church has to be found walking, conscious to the guidance, to the rule of the Spirit of God. And I think every Christian should be walking together. And that's what Paul is trying to say. And that's why I think, if you realize, in our church, we have small groups and all that. Why? It's not that we got nothing to do throughout the week, right? We want to be found walking together. We want to help people to walk in line, right? Why do we have discussion groups, right? Not to kill another 1 hour before we have lunch, not because of that to make us hungry, no. Because we want to help people, right? You might have questions or you might have prayer needs to be prayed for so that you'll come back online, right? You'll be conscious to the prompting of the Spirit. And then Paul also says, right, if you look at the word very carefully, right, it is Christian walk is possible through the Holy Spirit. It's, yes, my friend, we can walk, but if you want to be walk as a Christian, the Spirit of God is important for our lives. And so that's the way Paul says. So living in the Spirit, right, it's a crucified life. Every day I bring myself to God because I'm always being challenged, right? There's always temptation around. Sometimes unknowingly I fall into the temptation, and so Paul says, I crucify, you know, it's active on your part. You crucify yourself. Yes, Jesus has already done for you because of his love and grace. You need to surrender yourself daily and say, Lord, I struggle with this. I need help. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need your guidance, Lord. I'm giving myself to you. I'm submitting myself to you. We need to be crucifying yourself daily, following, carrying the cross daily, my friend. It's a struggle, let me tell you. But Paul says that's who we are. We are Christians, right? And we need to be walking in step. We have the Spirit of God in us, so use him. We have the power of God in us, so utilize the power of God in your life. Don't just park the power of God in your garage. Use him every day. And walk, just conscious, look at the right, look at the guidance of the Spirit, the rule of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, and then walk with others, right? Seek guidance or help, encourage others. And always, it's only possible to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my friend, let me encourage you to walk, right? You have the Spirit of God in you. I have the Spirit of God in me. Let's use the power. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence, O God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your love that was shown at the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for us. And Father, we pray that even today, help us, Lord, to crucify ourselves on the cross each and every day. Help us, Lord, to do it on our part. Yes, Lord. There was a time we told ourselves, yes, I'm crucified with Christ. But we thank you, Lord, for reminding us again from the passage that it's in a daily attempt. Because daily we have struggles, O God. Daily we have desires. The lust is always around. The affection is always around us, O Father. And so, Lord, help us to daily surrender ourselves to you and crucify ourselves on the cross of God. Yes, it's difficult to say no, but because of Christ, we need to say no and give ourselves to him. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we have your Spirit in us. We pray, God, that we will use the power of the Spirit in our lives, O God. Let just walk the way that we want to walk. But help us, O Lord, to walk in line. Help us, O Lord, to be reminded of your words, your teaching. Help us, Lord, to know it's only possible through the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, help us to each and every moment ask, Lord, help me. O Spirit of God, just lead me. We cannot be an island of God in this world, in this time and age. We need people. We need godly advice. We need guidance. We need the church. We need fellow believers of God to help us to walk in line. Because we hear different voices in this world. And so Lord, help us, Lord, to grow together with other people in the church. We thank you because we can walk because of Jesus and because the Spirit of God is in us. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.